Exodus chapter 20, verse 12. This is the reading of God's word. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be prolonged in the land which the Lord your God gives you. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this precious time of hearing your word. We thank you that through your word, you proclaim to us the gospel, the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ. Grant us an ear to hear your word. That we may hear your word and understand and believe and obey. And Father, we pray that as we hear your word, that our faith will grow and will be more and more like your Son, Jesus Christ. Let us, through your word, see what our Lord Jesus Christ has accomplished for us, our heavenly reality. Let us rejoice and give you all the thanksgiving and glory. Bless us and receive all the glory. We pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We usually divide the Ten Commandments into two groups. 1 through 4, these concern the relationship between God and man. And 5 through 10, concerning the relationship among men. And Bible doesn't divide Ten Commandments into two groups, but we do so for various reasons. Among them are easy to remember this way. And we're going to start looking at the second group today, the fifth commandment. Now, before we do that, I would like you to remember again what is the meaning and the purpose of our obedience. Obviously, we cannot obey these commandments perfectly on our own strength and ability. And it is Jesus Christ who has already obeyed these commandments perfectly for us in our places. If that is so, then why do we obey? Why bother? Well, we do obey as best as we could because as much as we obey, it is our expression of our love for God. Jesus has said, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." And as much as we obey in Jesus Christ, that much we are imitating our Lord Jesus Christ and we are participating in his holy life. And as much as we obey in Jesus Christ, that much we witness our eternal reality of heaven that our Lord Jesus Christ has already accomplished for us. I know I've been saying this over and over again, but this is very important. And when we put the meaning and the purpose of obeying these commandments as much as possible this way, then these are something that we would love to do. We would love to imitate Christ. We would love to participate in his life. We would love to witness the reality of heaven. And because we love him, we would love to express our love. I mean, when you see two people in love, you know, they want to express their love for one another. That's just natural. So these commandments are not just heavy duties that we have to perform, but these are something that we want to do. And these are the motivation in obeying our God as much as possible. We do not obey out of fear or guilt or greed. You know, these three things, this is what make, these are what makes some people, at least outwardly, do what God says. Because of fear. You know, some people come to church on Lord's Day because they fear if they don't, then God will do something bad. And guilt. They do things to relieve of themselves of guilty feeling that they have. So they do these things outwardly for God so that they could get rid of those guilt. And greed. They do these things thinking that when they do them, then somehow God will bless them with the earthly things. So their focus is getting that earthly things, so they do, out of greed. But we don't obey because of these things. We obey out of love. And that's only proper way to obey, out of love, because we love God. Any other way, God is not pleased with. Now, our Christian life is the life that is lived by faith. Our life actually belongs to heaven. It is life that belongs to heaven. And as we live our lives here on earth, we are to reflect that heavenly reality that our Lord Jesus Christ has already accomplished for us. So all our relationships that we have here on earth must pattern after the relationships of heaven that our Lord Jesus Christ has already accomplished for us. You know, when you think of relationships in heaven, there are many relationships, but today I'm going to just bring three relationships that we see in heaven. The first relationship is among the Trinity, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and it is the eternal. It is as it was, and it will always be the same, the perfect relationship among the Trinity. There's perfect love and perfect harmony. So that's one relationship that we see in heaven. Perfect relationship among the Trinity. The second relationship is the relationship between God and His people. If you could do this, if you see heaven, there's a relationship that goes on between God and His people. Now, that relationship is expressed in so many ways in the Bible. As the father and the son relationship, as the husband and the bride-wife relationship, as the king and his subjects relationship, as God and his people, as friends, so on and on. There's many ways that God expresses that relationship. And that relationship is also a perfect fellowship, of course, in heaven. And the third relationship is the relationship among the people of God as the brothers forever. And again, that relationship is also perfect. The perfect love and the perfect peace. But the second relationship, God and His people, and the third relationship among God's people, these two relationships are accomplished by our Lord Jesus Christ. And our relationships here on earth must reflect the heavenly relationships that our Lord Jesus Christ has accomplished for us. So if you want to know how should my relationship to you, look to heaven. Look to what Jesus has accomplished for us. That how you and I, we're going to have a perfect relationship, perfect love, perfect peace. That's the pattern and that is the goal. We are to live by faith. Understanding and knowing and believing that that kind of perfect relationship is already our present reality, our present spiritual reality that Jesus has already accomplished. That's how we are going to be together in heaven. And that is already present reality. So if we live by faith, we want to reflect that in our earthly living here, in our life here on earth. So, commandments 5 through 10 is dealing with the relationships among men. And what do you think we need to do as we study these relationships? Well, we have to look to heaven. We have to look to the things that our Lord Jesus Christ has done and accomplished for us. The heavenly relationships are the pattern and the goal. Remember that if Jesus Christ had not accomplished our heavenly relationships, then all our relationships here on earth is utterly meaningless and futile. Now, if a non-Christian hears this, they will get angry because it's kind of, to them, saying too much. But let me repeat that again. If Jesus had not accomplished our heavenly relationships by his work, then all our relationships here on earth is utterly meaningless and futile. If there is no salvation, then ultimately all are the enemies of God and the enemies to one another. Even if a husband and wife have the best relationship according to this world, if Jesus had not accomplished our eternal heavenly relationships, then those two will hate one another forever in hell. Oh, they might think they're having the best relationship in this world for 70, 80 years, but let's see what happens when they die and go to hell. Let's see what happens to that relationship. This is what I mean. If Jesus did not accomplish our salvation, then everything is meaningless. All relationships are meaningless. No, not only meaningless, it's sinful. This is how it is with all non-Christians. It really does not matter how good their relationship with their spouses and with their family and with their friends. They will all hate one another forever in hell. As soon as they die, they go to hell and that relationship is just full of hate. Why? Because in hell, not even common grace exists. In heaven, common grace will stop too. But special grace abounds in heaven. But in hell, even the common grace is not there. And definitely no special grace. The sinners will show the true color in hell. The perfectness of sin, if you will. So what does it matter how good relationship they think they have in this world if Jesus doesn't save them? Those good relationships here on earth are temporary at best. Ultimately, are all false. You must understand this. Without Christ, everything is meaningless. Because without Christ, only thing there exists forever is hell. That's it. Oh yeah, the world might give some special meaning to certain relationships of certain people, and you might even read about it, you might even see a movie about it, whatever they might do, but ultimately, it's all hell. And it's all temporary. All earthly relationships are temporary. Your father is not your father in heaven. Your mother is not your mother in heaven. Your son is not your son in heaven. Your daughter is not your daughter in heaven. Your husband is not your husband in heaven. Your wife is not your wife in heaven. We're all brothers in heaven. Earthly relationships are temporary. So obviously, our focus should be on eternal relationships more than earthly relationships. I'm not telling you to ignore earthly relationships. No, there's proper things that we must do in those earthly relationships, but always remembering that it's temporary. It's not ultimate. So even as you love your husband, you realize this is temporary, but you do your best to love your husband, but that has to make you focus on the eternal husband. So even loving your husband has to cause you to love the husband, heavenly husband, forever and ever. Otherwise, then it's meaningless, and it's even sinful. Keep this in mind as we study these relationships, how God wants us to live in terms of these relationships here on earth. But you must remember that even these commandments are for temporary relationships. But what God wants you to do is from those temporary relationships that you will see the reality of the eternal relationships. The other way around is that through those earthly relationships, you are to reflect your eternal relationships that you have in heaven. My point is this. And it sounds very cold and harsh, but I'm stating the fact. And my point is, this, without Christ, all are utterly meaningless. Let's go to verse 12. The fifth commandment. honor your father and your mother that your days may be prolonged in the land which the Lord your God gives you. And we talked about how the context in which the Ten Commandments are given is Old Testament. So these earthly promises, you have to take it to the higher level, heavenly promises. Honor your father and your mother, it says. Now, all the other religions, even those without any religion, will say the same thing. I mean, who will not say, honor your father and your mother? Which religion you go, that they will say, don't honor your father and mother. So are we saying the same thing then? Is Christianity, when it says, honor your father and your mother, are we saying the same thing as those other religions or even the non-Christians who might say this? See, this is the problem. The secular world and Christians, we use the same vocabularies, but we don't mean the same thing. So the danger is always that people bring secular meaning when they read the Bible. And they understand the Bible in terms of those secular meanings. That is why they don't get it. Remember that the Bible is never about just the worldly morals. We must understand the command of God in the context of what He has accomplished for us. The reality of heaven has been accomplished by our Lord Jesus Christ. We are to reflect the relationship of heaven in the relationship here on earth. There are so many ways to express the heavenly reality that our Lord Jesus Christ has accomplished for us. And if we are to express it in terms of what we are talking about today, then this is it. God is our Father and we are His sons. Even as you honor your earthly father, you have to remember your ultimate father. The forever Father is your God. Now, Jesus Christ, when He taught us to pray, He told us to say, pray then in this way, He says, Our Father, who is in heaven. And it tells us many things that God the Father is our Father. Now it implies so many things, right? Jesus says to the Father, my Father, and we are to call the same God, my Father, our Father. It makes Jesus and us, we're brothers. But Jesus is much more than just my brother. He's my husband. He's my God. He's my also father. And He's my friend. I mean, there's all kinds of ways that God shows us this reality of heaven that He has accomplished for us. But remember, as we talk about this commandment, that you never forget that God is our Father. Galatians chapter 4 verse 6 says, therefore you are no longer a slave but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. God is our true Father. All the earthly relationships are temporary. All the earthly fathers will be our brothers forever in heaven. There is only one true Father, and He is our God. Don't forget that. Now we are His sons. What is our relationship with our God? That our God as our Father and we as His Son, that reality, how are you gonna, what kind of relationship are you gonna have with the Father in heaven, forever in heaven? As a son, how are you gonna treat the Father God? As a son, how are you gonna respond to your Father in heaven? That reality should reflect your relationship with your earthly father. That's the principle. And the true reality of that relationship, actually, true reality of any relationship that we're going to talk about. Jesus Christ, He has perfectly witnessed it. He showed to us how a son, what kind of relationship son should have his father. He showed it to us. Meaning He revealed the reality of heaven for us. Isaiah 64 verse 8, "But now, O Lord, You are our Father. We are the clay and You our potter. All of us are the work of Your hand. God made us in His image. Just like it, we are born in the image of our earthly father and mother." Genesis chapter 5, verse 1 through 3. This is the book of the generations of Adam. "In the day when God created man, He made him in the likeness of God. He created them male and female, and He blessed them and named them man in the day when they were created." But it continues, "When Adam had lived 130 years, he became the father of a son in his own likeness, according to his image, and named him Seth." In the earthly life, the parents represent God to their children. Just like God created us in His image, we are born in the image of our earthly father. Yeah. Some sons, they don't like it. They look like their father, but that's just how it is. So, in the earthly life, the parents represent God to their children. "Honor your father and your mother." The word honor means much more than just obey. The same word is found in Isaiah 24, verse 15. There it says, "Glorify, glorify the Lord." The same word, glorify. The same word as honor in our passage. In Isaiah 24, the same word is translated as glorify. Leviticus 19 verse 3a says, "Every one of you shall reverence his mother and his father." You know, the word reverence is often attributed to God. And this is what we say usually, right? You should only revere God, no one else. But guess what? In God's word, you will find that word attributed to the earthly mom and dad. And listen again to the fifth commandment. "Honor your father and your mother." And listen carefully. "Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be prolonged in the land which the Lord your God gives you." And if you read Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 40, listen, "So you shall keep His statutes and His commandments, which I am giving you today, So here, if you obey God, that it may go well with you and with your children after you, that you may live long on the land which the Lord your God is giving you for all times. Wait a minute. Did you hear that? God says if you honor your father and mother, then there's that blessing that he promises. But the same blessing is promised in the command that you obey your God. Honoring and obeying the earthly father and mother are given at the same level as honoring and obeying God. And this is what you must understand. Because earthly parents represent God to their children. That is why these kind of things you will find in the Bible. You might be shocked by this. Deuteronomy chapter 21, verse 18 through 21. If any man has a stubborn and rebellious son who will not obey his father or his mother, and when they chastise him, he will not even listen to them, then his father and mother shall seize him and bring him out to the elders of his city at the gateway of his hometown. They shall say to the elders of his city, "This son of ours is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey us. He is a glutton and drunkard." Then all the men of his city shall stone him to death. You know, just like adultery, we don't stone anybody to death anymore, but it shows the gravity of that sin. God hates that sin so much that the punishment is stoning to death. Just like having any other gods or committing adultery in the Old Testament is as serious as that sin. Then all the men of his city shall stone him to death, so you shall remove the evil from your midst, and all Israel will hear of it and fear. Remove sin out of in today's language, out of church. That's why even today, we don't stone those rebellious sons and daughters to death. But parents can bring the matter to the session and they could disown that son and daughter. Because I would like to say to my kids too, if you don't want to obey God, then you are not my son and my daughter. And I mean it. I'm not joking about this. Because we are to obey our Father who is our God. And we don't take this lightly. And because I love my own son and my daughter, I will say that. Because they're not living according to the will of God and not pointing that out, that is not loving my son and my daughter. Exodus 21, verse 15 and 17. He who strikes his father or his mother sure shall surely be put to death. You know, fathers and mothers going, yeah. He who crushes his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. Because to disobey the father and the mother is to disobey God. No one is able to honor and obey God without honoring and obey his or her father and mother, period. No one is able to honor God who is not honoring the parents. And we are not saying, okay, let me say this, we are not saying that all fathers and mothers are worthy of our honor. There are fathers and mothers who are not worthy of their children's obedience. I mean, I know this. This world is so fallen that, you know, some parents, they don't even know what they're doing when they have their children. However, as long as they do not tell us to sin, we must honor and obey our fathers and mothers. This is the will of God. Of course, if they tell you to sin, of course you don't obey, because ultimately it's about obeying your Heavenly Father. All because of our love for Jesus Christ, we obey and honor our fathers and mothers to obey and honor our God, who is our true Father forever. The center of all our relationship must be our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I need to go a little bit faster. I see the time there. And it is our belief that the phrase fathers and mothers include much more than just the earthly fathers and mothers. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 15, "For if you were to have countless tutors in Christ, yet you would not have many fathers, for in Christ Jesus I became your father through the gospel." Paul says, "I became your father through gospel." So the church leaders are your spiritual fathers. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 12 and 13, "But we request of you, brethren, that you appreciate those who diligently labor among you and have charge over you in the Lord and give you instruction, that you esteem them high, very highly in love because of their work. Live in peace with one another." Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17, "Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls as those who will give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with grief, for this would be unprofitable for you." Obey your church leaders, your spiritual fathers, and let them work with joy, not with grief, because if you grieve them, then it's not profitable for you. So, the phrase father and mothers include much more than just earthly father and mothers. Romans chapter 13, verse 1, "Every person is to be in subjection to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those which exist are established by God." And 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 18 and 19, "Servants, be submissive to your masters with all respect, not only to those who are good and gentle, but also to those who are unreasonable, for this finds favor. If for the sake of conscience toward God, a person bears up under sorrow when suffering unjustly, this finds favor." You know, the gospel is so hard for the world to accept. You know, the world talks about freedom, right? The world will never say to slave, "Go obey your masters." But this is what the Bible says. Because ultimately, your master is God. And he is in complete control. Whatever authority that he sets over you, don't you think he has no power to change it if he didn't like it? So in this sense, the leaders in the land are also the people who we must honor and obey. They're our fathers. And we must do that to obey our true Father who is our God. And it is our belief that this commandment includes the command to teach our children to honor and obey their fathers and mothers. When God commands us, honor your parents, this also includes that we as a parents, we need to teach our kids to obey their parents. We must discipline our children. And let me read you many, many places in Proverbs. Proverbs 29, 15 and 17. The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child who gets his own way brings shame to his mother. Oh, you know that child, right? They want to do their own way. And so many parents I see out there, just let them. Just let them. The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child who gets his own way brings shame to his mother. Correct your son, and he will give you comfort. He will also delight your soul. Proverbs 13, verse 24, he who withholds his rod hates his son. If you are not up to disciplining your son, you hate him, God says. But he who loves him disciplines him diligently. Chapter 15, verse 20, a wise son makes a father glad, but a foolish man despises his mother. Chapter 19, verse 26, he who assaults his father and drives his mother away is a shameful and disgraceful son. And Proverbs 23, verse 13 and 14, this might shock you. Do not hold back discipline from the child. Although you strike him with the rod, he will not die. This is what the Bible says. It might be shocked you, huh? Discipline him. Even though you will hit him with rod, he will not die, God says. You shall strike him with the rod and rescue his soul from Sheol, meaning hell. Now, we're not talking about child abuse. Parents out of control, just hitting their children, just with no control, just to get rid of his anger or just relieve his stress. We're not talking about that. Obviously, those are wrong. That's sin. But it is God's desire for us to discipline our children. You don't let them have their own way when if it is not the right way. You have to teach them from very young, and they do get it. They understand the language of pain. They do. You gotta let them know what is proper and what is not. You have to raise your kids according to the Word of God. This is so different from what we hear from the masters of education, those PhDs who major in education. How can we hit a child? It's barbaric, they say. Yes, in the eyes of the world, everything that God does, obviously, they're going to find it, false. And believe me, if obeying God makes me go to jail, then be it. You know how many Christians in the past, they went to jail because they want to obey God? How many Christians have to die because they want to obey God? Man, what happened to our religion these days? It's not about obeying God anymore. It's not about doing the will of God anymore. It's just what happened. Again, I'm not condoning child abuse or hitting just because. No. But disciplining out of love. That is what God desires. Because God disciplines us. Hebrews chapter 12, read from verse 5. Whomever God loves, He disciplines. And we are to follow the example set by God. And when we do discipline our children, we have this promise of God. Proverbs 22 verse 6, it says, train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. Man, I hold on to this promise so tightly when I was raising my kids. Teach my children the way that God says. And even if they grow old, they will not depart from it. I have His promise. You wonder why our children are going away from church. That after college, they would never show up to church. But we have God's promise. We train that child according to the will of God. Even when they grow old, they will not depart from it, it says. Claim this promise. So my worry is not about, oh, what if my son just doesn't believe anymore? No, my worry is about what if I don't discipline him according to the word. That's my worry. Because when I do that, I have God's promise that he will not depart. How are we to honor our father and mothers? We must look to Jesus Christ the same way He has honored His Father, the same way He has honored Joseph and Mary, His earthly father and His mother. To obey and please His Father, our Lord Jesus Christ lowered Himself from the heavenly glory to earthly shame. He humbled Himself and obeyed His Father to the point of death, even death on a cross. To obey and please His Father was his life. That's what his life was all about. Even at the point of death, he said, not by my will, but yours, Father. Your will be done. Why do we obey our fathers and mothers? To obey and please our Father in heaven. That's the purpose. Not moral. Not because that's what human beings should do. No. But we want to obey our Father who are in heaven. He tells us to obey our parents. Thus we obey. First Timothy chapter 3 verse 1 and 2. But realize this, that in the last days, difficult time will come. See, he's describing the last days. And this is how God describes the last days. For men will be lover of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, reviler, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, and he goes on. But description of the last days, people disobeying their parents. It is a characteristic of this sinful world. Again, it's not just blindly disobeying our parents. Like I say, if they tell you to sin, you don't obey. We are living in that generation that this verse is speaking of. This generation thinks that the parents are just annoying. Parents are just annoying. They are just bothersome. So you go to this place where only the old people live, convalescent homes, and the home for elderly, all year long, many, many years, nobody visits them because their parents are just annoying and bothersome. This is how this generation thinks. And I'm not saying only kids are doing wrong things. No. Parents, there are just some stupid parents out there. But God's command remains. Honor your fathers and mothers. Once again, the question, let me end this. Who is able to obey this perfectly? No one. Only Jesus. Jesus Christ is the only one who has obeyed this commandment perfectly, and that for us, and that in our places. Only in Jesus we are able to obey this commandment. And he was considered on the cross as someone who did not honor his Father, even though he honor his Father, that's all he did. But on the cross, he was considered as a son who was not honoring his Father. See, that's you. And that you is dying with Christ on the cross. And with his resurrection, you have resurrected as a new man who now honor, who now honors the Father and the Mother, and ultimately the Father in heaven. Jesus paid for our sins of not honoring our mothers and fathers perfectly. Oh, brothers and sisters, we must love our parents and obey them as much as possible. And to do so is to imitate our Lord Jesus Christ. To do so is to participate in his holy life, to witness the reality of heaven that he has accomplished. In heaven, we will obey our Father, our Heavenly Father, perfectly forever and ever. And that life has to be witnessed here by obeying and honoring your earthly mothers and fathers. To do so is to express our love for our true Father, Jesus Christ. Jesus says this in Revelation 21, verse 7, he who overcomes will inherit these things, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. So to honor our fathers and mothers is to love our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us honor and give all respect and obey our mothers and fathers that God has given to us. Remembering doing so, you're honoring and obeying your true Father, our Father in heaven.
Let us pray.
Father, we thank you. Thank you for your love toward us. Oh, Father, we thank you for Jesus Christ. If it wasn't for him, the only thing that is left for us is hell. But Father, we thank you that Jesus obeyed these commandments perfectly, and he paid in full all the wages of sins that we commit and will commit. And in him, we have become your son, who will obey our Father in heaven forever and ever, obey you perfectly. Let us remember this reality is our present reality that Jesus Christ has accomplished for us. Let us witness this reality by honoring our fathers and mothers. We thank you. We pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.